Welcome to our penultimate experience in the Colby Visiting Writer Series. On April 10th, the Pulitzer Prize winning novelist Allison Lurie and Edward Hauer will be reading in the Bixler Museum. So I hope you'll all want to come and tell your friends and people who love literature. Tell the people who hate literature, too, even if they don't come. That's all right, too. Okay. Jane Miller is the author of three collections of poetry: Many Junipers, Heartbeats, The Greater Leisures, which was selected by the poet Stanley Plumley as a winner in the National Poetry Series competition, and her most recent collection is a collaboration with the poet Olga Brumas, and it's called Black Holes, Black Stockings. I asked Jane to please bring copies of her last two books because, as I've mentioned before, our bookstore has many more sweatshirts than books. And that it's only fair that we try and even up the score. So if any of you are interested in either of Jane's last two collections, I have a handful of copies of them, and she was gracious enough to bring them. Jane Miller's won a Creative Arts Fellowship from the National Endowment of the Arts, and she's currently teaching at the famous Iowa Writers Workshop. Next year, she'll be on the graduate writing faculty at the University of Arizona. We value range and inclusiveness in our poets because our emotional lives are complex, and because the more of the world we see and know, the fuller human beings we can be. We value obsession in poetry because we value passion, a deeply felt thing bravely and relentlessly pursued. It's rare that we find both qualities in one poet. In Jane Miller's work, we often find these qualities in one poem. In her new poems especially, we find the mind in process, qualification and expansion by association. Jane Miller will often braid several attitudes, images, narratives, tones, and voices into a single experience. Her subject matter, though, is love. How ecstatic it can be. How we can have it, then lose it. How we survive it. She shares with other contemporary poets like Frank O'Hara and her colleague at Iowa, Jory Graham, a predilection toward interruption, fragmentation, play, and surprise. She lets us know the mind is never, thankfully, reasonable. But Jane Miller also values directness of feeling. In Sycamore Mall, Jane looks at how our public lives, our lives as maulers, erase art, nature, time, the senses, and love. In that poem, she says, "No one touches themselves in public. We, like the tree the mall is named for, are an endangered species unless our private lives are full of private passions." Like many of Jane's new poems, Sycamore Mall is a brave, funny, difficult, tragic poem, a virtuoso performance. Please welcome the performer warmly, Jane.
The magnetic moonlight, the metallic moonlight. I turn up the thermostat on Dodge, February zero, and I down a special export. You're out confirming the dimmer switch, an all-night light, an alkaline moon, a chemical moon. The graveyard stones name several unrelated Millers. I bust past them this early evening in a blizzard, with the children from the retarded school down the street. The street snowed in like a canal. A case like Van Gogh is impossible today. There's a filter on the sun, the snarled moon, the journalistic moon. I am a sentimental lover who would sit through a storm to paint the horizon, the charcoal moon, the whey moon. Driving home after your evening engagement, do you feel glamorous? You are, and I can't wait to touch your face and neck. Who would sit through a storm and love the horizon, your dark auburn hair to your shoulder and creamy belly below, rosy white. above all else, the figure in the landscape. In church, even in church, the figures in church, the potato moon, the moon of the poor. Vincent Punk, Vincent Victorious, Vincent the Bohemian, Vincent the Great. But I want it to make sense. It's about love. I want to announce that each time we go down on each other tenderly, we hike out in late autumn or early spring, before Earth's opened up, hands stiff embracing three paint tubes, blue, red, yellow, Earth in the cemetery mineral like jewels. And I don't think, how bad is the pain? It's portable. It was born in February. Blue, black, green, orange, yellow, brown, gray. The temptation is to stand out in a June rain and enjoy it for itself. I've had a delightful time today with some students that I've met with Ira Sadoff and Diane Sadoff, and I'd like to thank everyone for the hospitality that I felt just in the short time I've been here. This next poem is kind of dedicated to those students that I spoke with an hour or so ago, because it's about beginning. But it's not just for them, it's for all of us who begin over and over again. It takes place in a lake, kind of a hypothetical lake, which I later found out existed. Great, huh? That happened. In upstate New York, Lake Oswego. And this is called Metaphysics at Lake Oswego. Dawn, like never before. Rosy bands across bare trees. For the beginner, doubt and possibility both cradle in the pink sky. Like the beginner, empty and ready. As if an egg under each arm and without breaking them. Otter rose out on the lake, oarplash and bird call. So much in love with the music, she just moves, that's all. Great hips. From the shore, you're familiar with her look. You must tame her focus to see your human face. Cradled in a boat, her body confirms destiny. Already out this march, starving the deer, demanding you dissemble and bow down, and to whom? Out in a boat, out on the shore, in the waning days of your 20s, out of bathing. Your whole life is overcoming the past, which is fixed to repeat. With a kind of innocence, brushing the underbrush, you'd crawl from the trees, red ant toward those real trees. Were she not always undressing there before a swim? Dawn, like never before, charges up in you, alizarin, perfect, and wanton with something to express, not figure out. You're here blindly observing gestures again. Only when they ricochet do the lights riddle your body. Dignity, hope. You neither let go nor withhold. Let's see. Oh, this next poem is dedicated to the memory of Georgia O'Keeffe. She passed away just a few weeks ago. She was 98 years old, spending all those wonderful periods in art and not really paying any attention to them at all. She lived, as you know, in the Southwest for most of her life, beginning in 1929 when she went out there to the desert outside Santa Fe and eventually bought property there. I spent some time there. I'm about to go back to the Southwest, as you just heard. And this was written during a particularly bad period in my life, a period of loneliness. But it's just at those moments that things turn. The bottom is not endless. There really, I found out there is a bottom. Anyway, this is for her and for those days when I was so low. The poem isn't that sad, but the memory of it is for me. It mentions in Spanish the word pinyon, which is simply the pine tree, which has a very delicious and expensive nut, and it's expensive because each of those nuts has to be peeled by hand. And the workers who do them don't get paid very much, but when they come to us, we're meant to appreciate them. Here, then, is a poem called O'Keefian. Through the window, the pinion with its precious nut, each which must be picked and peeled by hand, darkens in bloom. And the old dogs called in sleep, and the soft adobe cools by lamp to crimson and to darkens. I am in love and no one I know for a good 1,000 miles. What the hell, freedom to scale, nor anyone to call to. For months I have lived for the day I could reconcile my anger with my wish simply to start over as your lover, and now with my heart, content as the ancient ocean, both figured into desert and alone, I release you as heat transforms the apricot and peach trees painted on the desert of the year I hurt. Each beetle, centipede, black widow, what I am supposed to look out for, like the rattler, who contains my death more than any other I also love, and more. For to love is to love the most feared on this red earth, with its heaven dark blue, like I imagine the mind, because the body doesn't have to think of day all night, nor the invisible moon on whom I practice your face. This changes landscape quite a bit. It moves over to the West Coast. For me, landscapes are always important in a poem. Sometimes it's just the landscape of the heart, but often it has an actual setting. Let's see, this mentions a not very well-known rock group, which has since broken up, but I was very attracted to their music and their name, and I kind of stole it here. I think you'll hear it when it comes in. And there are Los Ojos is something that you might not recognize right away unless you know Spanish means the eyes. Okay. This is called Ozone Avenue, which is a real place in LA, if you know it. But for me, it was more a state of mind. You know that ozone? So the end of semester ozone. Ozone Avenue. These days I love to dream. Then I go here, Romeo Void. It's a gentle hell, beloved. Teenage boys with lead guitars singing a number like, there is no like, you're gone. I suck the little megawatts of my memories, which are nothing, exactly like mirrors in a bar in a different mentality. L.A., Albuquerque, Berkeley, Queens drunk and coked to the teeth for the imprimatur of the closing bells. I imagine I do you riding toward my destination, the freeway. And the next minute, sniff jasmine no one sees. I lose the image of myself the rest of the world has to catch up with. How long are you going to be the rest of the world? One long day, the lover you left me for returns to sleep with you. You can't do it. It's ancient. Like talking about sex and not realizing the lead singer has one leg wrapped around the other around a mic stand. Knowledge is useless. Heaven in script on a turquoise sweatshirt with private clubs for Los Ojos. Where is this room? Just a sweatshirt with nothing under it. A blanket with the design of the future. I can tell how she is because we've only just met. So used to living intimately, sometimes I wake, feelings in others I don't know. Mornings, the prostitutes on mission ignore me like I'm just another voluntary miscarriage of an intellect. Forever is getting faster. air traffic no one hears over a beach. You make a small gesture on that beach, love, flicking volcanic ash off your cigarette. This poem now drops a little bit further south to the beautiful west coast of Mexico, set in Mazatlan. It's one of my newer poems. I hope you like it. Somehow there are nuts in here again. I don't know if that's my diet is somehow lacking some food, but anyway, there are some filberts in here. It's actually kind of sentimental, and the title is especially sentimental. And I spent some hours today with Ira and Diane listening to some music from the 30s, and I think there's nothing more sentimental than the blues. And so I hope that this title rings of that a bit, to remember every hour. Eternal morning from La Siesta Hotel. 3 or 4 Mexicans blurt out a fight below. I remember you shelling filberts with your teeth. Now it's summer in December. Like a soul come from the shower headless, a towel around its waist. I don't really have to wear this lipstick, but to prove I'm alive, I like the color. A maid waits on me in some skewed reality, and I ask myself how I'm going to think. This was my belief, to oppose something solid, on the basis of night, on the basis of fog. Now in the distance, my attention is broken off like a bus horn, like every hour I have to die for fear I will lose you. You know the feeling. It comes to you, eventually, to you. Mass that is no friend. Month that punishes earth. Oh, why are you weeping? Tell me, why are you unfortunately in the world? Unfortunately in the world, pain is the weapon everyone gets, missing the northern migration. No excuses, please. Things we carried to their extreme will meet again. The senses may be elevated to sacred. Why live in principle and die in fact? Clinging in English, on the roof of Mazatlan, on the basis of night, to prove you're alive. This is also a new poem, and it travels around quite a bit. It mentions a couple of, Ira mentioned in his beautiful and generous introduction that sometimes my poems have different plots, and this one especially, I think, does. It makes a brief appearance in an apartment in Athens, but then we don't go back to it again. It's mostly the landscape of love, and like love, it contains an element of its betrayal, of its opposite, here, betrayal, which is the poem's title. As long as it's August, we can think of November as a snail's shell, because I'm falling in love with you, you know, in Athens, in a stranger's apartment, hearing bouzouki music like tin birds until the police come to break it up. I never felt at home in the family. Blue body, white car. Can you imagine? I have been living with so many lovers over the years and you don't know a thing about it. I'm sorry all over the place. I'm your whisper. I'm your free will. It kills me. My father picking pennies off an old rug, bunching newspapers into a ball, hurling a few feet away. Hell, I'm only able to write this sentence once. Is it after all your power which prevents you showing up posthumously scarved and hooded on feast days, on horseback, on a cloud, yesterday? Yours already. Can't you drag your long gabardine from the demi-monde to the tip of my face? I'm not after meaning. I'm after you. Such a song, the black bread and the moon in a brusque transition to reality. Don't let me tire myself out on an impulse. Remember me this way. Dawn mute and clear. A cloud hung in a tree. As if, all of a sudden, you don't have any possessions. Don't you see? It's the horrid good fortune that comes from the grief of others. Someone watching us between touch and tenderness, like animals. Only speeded up in dream. Passing cars, your top down, your tape blasting the very words spoken by a fountain and repeated by the sea. We shall probably never, but why say it? Fingering that ends in leaves of oil and gasoline, inexorable leaves. I'll read one other poem before turning to some prose poems from the book that Olga and I did together, Black Holes, Black Stockings. I'll read this because I mentioned it, the poem Sycamore Mall, and because it does a lot of traveling. It starts out in the Midwest, just wanting to go to a movie one night, and somehow Italy gets in here. Some beautiful things that I saw in Venice and in Florence and in Rome. And let's see, the two beautiful Italian artists, Michelangelo and Giotto, are mentioned. And for those of you who've never been to the Midwest or experienced their particular kind of mall, this will be that kind of introduction. You must have your own, surely. And the American film director Francis Ford Coppola is mentioned in the first line. Probably seen this movie. Sycamore Mall. Coppola's Cotton Club starts at Campus 2 Cinema, Saturday, 6:45, mall time. You just missed it. The Negroes in the film are played by blacks, playing opposite the tennis shop, tobacconist, lingerie and antennae sales, glass-cased elevator, and automatic bank teller. Because this is a strangeness tender in others, a display of the humiliated, a display of the humiliated and recast human being, a thing Michelangelo transcended in marble, with David and its oversized right hand. Because this is a tenderness strange in others. I dine formally in a towel, with dahlias and hydrangeas on the table, raspberries and roses in their second bloom, then sympathetically go out on the town. Symptomatically, it is as if I am approaching the Doge's palace in Venice, and the piazza is covered with ice. I exit my hotel on the Grand Canal, Paganelli's, and slide arm in arm with my lover. It was right to act back then, in summer, as if I were living a love story that would be simple, with its curious nocturnal glow, not unlike the mall hybrid light, where like a single thought there persisted on the electronic tape player, a song as from the bowel of the basilica, a choir repeats a benediction. No one ever touches himself in public, our Lord, because we've all rubbed off on one another so much we're invisible. And that is what has become of the tree for which our mall received its name, with hope that it won't be the end of the world if we act out of our best mood. Surprisingly delightful original sex without climax, a gift reserved for the end of the century, for those who still live by the spirit of an act on a street prepped like a movie set. He was right to act back then, and to trust the movement of the affair to the relationship and insist on perfection. It'll be a while before we are hoisted and joined as characters on a screen in sepia tone, inside a theater, inside a mall, under the influence of temperature control. Painfully we wake one day and haven't the right clothes for Venice. It has snowed as it did, we are told, once a lifetime ago. The full evening moon floods the piazza, and in the morning, workers haul benches for the tourists to pass over. A simple pair from a painting, or the marble hair from the David, bandages art places over our eyes, survive in Renaissance books next to the jog and diet shelf. Michelangelo and Giotto appear naked to the touch, holier, because no one is fully conscious nor ever able to forget anything under the false light of the dome. Our ladies of the air conditioner, the air freshener, the night moisturizer. Between summer and winter of a given year, I reflected on life to no end and fell in love, ourselves in a lover, like art whose strangeness tenders a body in others. Okay, let me move around a little bit. These are prose poems. Some of them tell a story, some don't. I'll try and read kind of a variety. It was delightful to write a book with someone. The whole idea of, well, I'm an artist. I can't work alone. I can't work with someone. I have to work alone. That would be ridiculous. I wouldn't think of working with anyone. And Olga said to me, oh, come on, let's just try. Oh, no, absolutely. The integrity of the individual, the soul must be alone. Oh, just try. So I came down a few pegs from my this image of myself as out there, you know, like Rilke. Imagine thinking of oneself as Rilke anyway. I mean, what nerve. And then we gradually started to write these things together, and I hope you like them. This book just came out a couple of months ago. The landscapes here are pretty much the Mediterranean, where Olga is from. This one in particular is set there. It names the beautiful Greek island Sifnos. Remember how close we sat in Sifnos having dinner by the water? You said in your country once you put the table in the water. You began the meal, and then what a great idea to move it over a little. It would cool you. It was that calm. You rolled your pants to the knee and poured drinks all around, the fish bones back to the sea. Lizards climb the stone outside the kitchen by the sea. Weeds and flowers grow out of the stone. The relatives spill out of the kitchen. The daughter is well-educated or about to be. She serves us with the happy face of one who is leaving. You lifted your skirt walking home in the dark over the pebbles to sit. One night we saw the only other lovers. They were both fair, she blonde and he gray. And their eyes moved only to each other in the sea, those two destinations. Now the sea once in a while slips a wave up to their feet because a boat passes or for no reason. Now the yellow moon divides the sea into fields. And again from that same location. They drove to the far side of the island. It was rocky and off season. They found a house with a climb to the bay, and whose nights were protected by its gentle curve. From halfway up, they would turn to the taverna lights, casting out a short distance to water. By midday, the vendor cries along the streets quieted, and the fish was bought and cooked. One lemon to flavor the fish and squirt on the hands to clean. Goats feast on the rind. Bells on the goats in the heat. In the heat, bells from the churches. Side by side, they flattened out in the sun. Like a sheet is disinfected, they were, and were lovers who liked each other reduced to very few needs. Mosquito netting, a white shirt, a simple meal, and also rhododendron and thyme steaming in a thicket by the path. They passed it like a gate between the house and the village. The pails with milk hardening into cheese in the cooler part of the house, so round and white, the opening of the well, the late moon, illuminations that come to them in the night, and why? Lizards and ants, yes. Mosquitoes and flies, no. Yellow jackets, yes. Wasps, gnats, bumblebees, no. Nightingales, swallows, woodchucks, dragonflies, fireflies, yes. Minor birds, usually. Kittens, puppies, guppies, pigeons, doves, yes. Owls, not usually. Nor do I like dogs in packs or frogs singing. Do flies bite? One mother is a bitch and the other pink and pert. They were here for a performance and tea, mothers of famous lovers. Serum is squeezed out of a bite, not without pain, but the itch is gone. Makes a funny mark where you've bleached your leg hair rather than shave. We all sang, try a little tenderness. Risk of pus. The countess who ran the place invited her publisher and one mother invited a series of relatives. Split genes, clones, insomniacs, reptiles, no. Fly by night, tea for two. One sang for mother, another recited. Goods for nothing, good for nothings. One loves two, who loves three. I took each Polaroid into the sun. First, the countess and mother are dark against the great blue. The other mother and the countess again, impressionistic, fleeting. A third of the four of them, daughters and mothers who had been. Overexposed in front of a bowl of wild strawberries, bleeding together a little. Looking up, I saw out of place on a fig tree limb a rather large mouse staring down the fabulous blouses of great beauties with a secret, mine. Happy no matter, pulling it off. We spent the last hour of the night, at last, just looking at each other alone. Well, this next is just a list. And I think you'll pick up what it is right away. But let me just say, it kind of yokes together unusual things, but with a little twist. The only cool day of summer. Kids at bullfights. Yellow and purple. Green olives under an almond tree. A trapezoid smile. Indoors without a flash. Two aunts and an uncle. Avocado vinaigrette. A bath with no hot water. A spoon and a fork. Think about it, a spoon and a fork. Illuminated hands of a clock on its side. The hidden side of an arriving train. Paris at night. A face appearing at different windows of a big house. The last half of April and the first of May. One other. Sometimes Olga and I are asked, well, which one did you write? Did you write that one, the list one? Did you? And we can't remember a lot of them. Who wrote what? I guess that's what happens when you're on a roll. And if you liked it, I wrote that one. This is a kind of a sonata on the color blue. I understand there's a beautiful book which I haven't read and hadn't at the time certainly called. It's by William Gass on blue,
on
being blue. This is simple.
First read actually at Cole.
Oh, well then, great. Oh, okay. Thank you. Blue of rainforest green, of moss, ultramarine of closed eyes, evening pearl, berry black, blue of earth cerulean in space, royal, Prussian, porpoise blue and whale gray, slate blue of metal, enamel, iridescent trout, blue of fungus and mold, sky, Pacific, Mediterranean, aqua of translucent blues, blue stained with yellow, iris, silver, purple, rose blue, military, grape, in the shadow, violet or port, pool blue, quivering, church stain, red matter, octopal, ice blue, blue of size, bluebird in twilight with a white stripe, polka dot, blood blue, Nordic, light, diamond, meteor, parallel lines, density, powder red, white, and blue, blue concerto, island. Ira and Diane Einstein have spent some time in Berkeley, and they may recognize this landscape, but it takes place in the, it sort of travels from there, but it starts out in the Berkeley Rose Garden. And for any of the rest of you that haven't been there, it's kind of a stadium-like effect of tiers and tiers of roses, all little Latin names on them, yeah, a whole curve of yellow and then red. It's absolutely incredible when it's in bloom. When it's not, it just looks like a bunch of sticklers. It looks very treacherous. This is an elegy to a friend of mine who died. One other thing about this. There's a line in here that's in italics because I found it in my notebook, and I couldn't remember if I had made it up or if I copied it from someone else. And it's kind of mentions an old wives' tale. One biked easily to the gardens because the hills dipped musically. Tiered in colors, each rose possessed a magical name, and the names in a foreign language. A stadium of flowers, each a rose. Not to speak about roses, nor the moon, nor the names of lost loves, common songs, nor odors, which cannot be recalled. We sat on the edge of a bench, bent toward the gold light deepening the red bridge. The lights came on along the bridge and bronzed the bay below. When the light reached the roses, it was divided into its individual cords, and each allowed itself to be touched where it was tired. We had to sit there because the light had gone out in our pockets and we were heavy with the light. You were gone as suddenly. And when I had the news 2 days later, the rain that was to ruin the soil and be unavailable the following autumn during the eucalyptus fires had begun. The smell of dung and menthol and mulched leaf dizzied like too much rain. Hundreds of acres of fire into tar-like sap. A friend, when you are not yet both 21 but close, breathes in the darkness that you might breathe in and flower. I sat on a bench in the rain, on and off for days, until the roses in that part of the country, for that time of year, burned with scent. I must have been, as I remembered it later, taking a bath during your last hour, in the house you had found for me, on that decent avenue I couldn't afford. It was fair in those days to die rather than go back. Whereas today, it is merely sunny, somewhat on the cool side. The village reeks of fresh bread. Okay, I'll just recite two more poems and then we'll go. This one's from my first book. It's not exactly March 10th, but because the poem starts with those two words, I thought it was close enough that I could share this with you. And You're included in the title. May you always be the darling of fortune. March 10th, and the snow flees like eloping brides into rain. The imperceptible change begins out of an old rage and glistens, chaste with its new craving, spring. May your desire always overcome your need. Your story that you have to tell, enchanting, mutable, may it fill the world you believe. A sunny view, flowers lunging from the sill, the quilt, the chair, all things fill with you and empty and fill. And hurry, because now as I tire of my studied abandon, counting the days, I'm sad. Yet I trust your absence in all things wholly evident, the rain and the white basin, and I, vigilant. Well, I hear the shouting outside has begun, so I'll finish with this. This poem is written in couplets, and I tried to write each part of the couplet as if it were slightly unrelated to the next line, and then kind of jumped back again. So, anyway, it's a little like music, I think. It's called Near You Are Heavenly Bodies. I adapt the rhythms of my actions to the affairs of the earth. Maybe you don't want to be loved every day, maybe I don't. Is it arbitrary or is it intuitive? I'm just going out for a moment. My father's tender, direct kiss on the lips, meaningless in the way someone thinks, I'm just going out for a moment. But only suddenly, with no shirt, the beautiful day coming on tonight. Fear or freedom, when that's understood, we build. And it isn't a matter of acquiring, it's a matter of divesting. Who were my friends? Among whom did I move? Yellow apples, green and red grapes, red and orange pears. A guy walks into a bar, throws down $2, adjusts his nuts, and orders. The end of the century cries out. Now tell me, did you get up at night like this as a child? On the pretext, night wasn't made for children. We have to prove we're honest. How did you know I belong there? A state as obvious as California. Who was I stopping to ask, is this real? The smallest creatures near you are heavenly bodies. Natch, I'm just going out for a moment. Thank you.
I hope you've all come upstairs to the English department and join us for our usual elegant reception and red white wine and the best potato chips we have. Get a chance to talk to Jane. Thank you very much, Jane.